Brandon Hill Condominiums kind of has a nice ring to it. You might expect pristine landscaping, a grilling area, maybe a playground for kids.
But in fact, the development east of I-285 in DeKalb County, just off Memorial Drive, it has a play area, but it's overgrown with weeds. Parts of Brandon Hill look like a landfill, the final resting place for broken toilets, tattered sofas, busted TVs, and soiled mattresses.
And parts of the complex look like it just burned, but the bulldozers have yet to arrive. Parts look like what you'd see in the aftermath of a tornado.
This didn't happen because of a natural disaster. So how did it happen?
Now, this is in worse shape than the first time.
Nancy Jester has spent months asking that question. How did Brandon Hill get this bad? As the District 1 DeKalb Commissioner and I walk around the grounds, it appears she's less sure of an answer now than ever before.
Level of collapse.
So what we see here, it looks like it used to be the stairwell. There are three levels to this building. It's all open as if a wall has collapsed on the outside. And on the second floor, you can see the subfloor is now growing weeds, essentially. And yet I look over to the left on the bottom floor here, and
there's some sort of sleeping bag or
something.
It
looks like somebody lives here.
Somebody's been, yeah, using it as shelter. And that could easily collapse. I mean, look at the top level there.
This whole thing to me looks like it could collapse.
And you see, here's this extension cord, and it's going, it's leaving this building.
What the commissioner knows is that for years, likely decades, DeKalb County government has failed.
In some of the hallways.
I want to pause here, though, mm-hmm. because you said a moment ago, this is a failure of government
sure.
on many levels.
Is.
What is it going to take to get people out of this type of situation?
Well, it's going to take many agencies working together because we have the intersection here of a whole lot of issues, not the least of which is just the legal issue of every unit has an owner. If this were an apartment community and we had one owner or a set of owners, that would be easier to deal with because that's a business operating. Certainly you'd have the same human task of relocating people. This is obviously a structure that needs to be taken down, but each unit again is owned. So DeKalb County can't come in and simply take this down.
So Jim, I think an obvious question, why not?
Well, as we heard Commissioner Jester say, each unit has an owner somewhere, and those owners have legal rights. But, you know, tracking them down at this point, after all these years, it really does seem like an impossibility. So it's pretty easy to understand why that's a barrier now, but it's not as easy to understand how it's really kind of carried on this long.
Did it get this bad because nobody at the county took that first step?
Well, I have to say, I think that the new attention, I think it has helped to motivate government to do some things it hadn't been doing before, either because they looked at it as, oh, it's so complicated with all the owners, so where do we begin? I think it caused government to take another look and see, okay, well, what can we do?
Simple question, right? But there is no simple answer. The county has come up with a place to start. It's filed a lawsuit. But now this lawsuit really doesn't do much to clean up the broken buildings. But while the county tries to figure all that out and how to tackle the ownership question, Jester says officials are taking at least a baby step.
And we have started legal work to deal with the common areas, which, you know, we see this massive dumping and going on and the debris. So we have started that process. Technically, the government can't come on the property and abate this nuisance without having first done some legal steps to get there, since this is, you know, private property.
In January, the county filed a lawsuit in DeKalb Superior Court. It basically asked Judge Gail Flake to force Brandon Hills Condo Association to clean up its exterior and common areas. Jester says the county can request a hearing as soon as this month. Now, even if the county is successful in court, it's unlikely the condo association is able to comply or pay for that cleanup. So DeKalb will have to do the work itself. And while it might remove the piles of trash and furniture and other debris dumped here for years, it doesn't really fix the real problem.
In the meantime, there's a very real problem that someone could die. I mean, I'm just going to be as frank as I can.
I struggle and worry about that. Yeah, you're looking, right, exactly. And when I was first here, my thought, and you see those bikes up there, and yeah. I worry about children there and families, and there's a little girl right there. Look, do you see her on the second story? She's not looking our way. There she is. But so there's a little girl in a structure that could collapse, and it's a burned out structure. And here she is.
I understand barriers. I understand layers. I understand bureaucracy.
But there's that little girl.
It's still hard for me to wrap my head, though, around the fact that there is a little girl in this building that quite literally could collapse with a strong wind.
Sure, that's right. It is heartbreaking.
Is there anything that can be done in the meantime? I mean, this is almost a time where an outsider would say, law be damned. We're talking about someone's life.
I am of the opinion that we are at a very desperate situation here, and I agree with you there. This is a situation for the health department, for DFACS. But until we abate all of this, children and people are going to keep being at risk to be put here or find their way here somehow. This has to be removed. I mean, this building has to be removed.
And I think someone who's listening to this probably cannot understand how drastic the situation is.
It really, seeing is believing. I mean, you're here to witness this. And when we walk down, you'll see some other evidence of just the further very dangerous conditions that folks are in. There's a collapse, like I said, in the roadway over here.
So Rose, Commissioner Jester and I moved on and continued our walk around Brannan Hill. But as I told her, that image of that little girl looking at us from that balcony of this uninhabitable building that could collapse really at any time, it's that one moment that stands out to me in this entire story.
And I think we should note, Jim, that we don't know if she lives in that building. We don't know how she got there. All we know is she was there that day that we visited Brannan Hill.
That's correct.
And Jim, so far you've given us a snapshot of these dangerous buildings that should be torn down, but that's not the whole story of Brannan Hill, as you'll hear in a moment. What you hear are the sounds of friends and neighbors gathering on a sunny afternoon. Nearby, small children are scattering about between buildings in what appears to be a game of hide and seek. A radio plays. All of this is also taking place in Brannan Hill condominiums. As the smoke rises from a portable barbecue grill, one of the neighbors, 50-year-old Audrey, brings out a tray of ribs from her apartment. As another neighbor tends to the meat, Audrey takes us inside her three-bedroom, two-bath unit she rents for $500 a month.
This right here is my bathroom. When we take a shower, it leaks down there. This is my bathroom. It got mold, that coming up, all of it. And then I got a room in here I don't want to show because my dog be in here.
What kind of dog you got?
I got a pet. She out there on the porch. She fresh. Then this a room I just put stuff in. It ain't nothing wrong with the apartment. It's just they don't fix nothing. And this is my son's room. And he got a long crack right up in here. All up when he take a shower, it leaks downstairs in their bathroom. There's nothing wrong with it. He just don't fix nothing. It's just the patio, the refrigerator, and the stuff he need to do. If he would have did that, we would have paid him the rent.
Audrey says she purposely stopped paying rent in order to force the landlord to repair the balcony, fix the refrigerator, and the floorboards. Instead, the landlord filed to evict Audrey, but she's planning to move anyway.
Should nobody have to live like this? Not nobody. Not even the homeless. They should not have to live like this.
So, Jim, the landlord issues are another layer of this complex problem. Now, Audrey says she's not sure who her landlord even is. Several people have come to pick up the rent.
We've heard stories like Audrey's, folks who were paying rent and expecting their landlords to provide an apartment that's safe and operational, kind of the basics. But What I was told was that as owners fled, it seems the unscrupulous moved in. Some who live here are actually squatters, and others just claim to own the property, rent it out to unknowing people, and then just kind of suddenly disappear when there's a problem.
But not everyone living in Brandon Hill has the same plight. Take Jathia Jeter.
So far, I have not had any issues inside of my personal unit, but I know that there are issues in other units. But you have to understand, like, you know, a lot of people are here because it's affordable. Have anybody have went down and tried to get an apartment as of lately? So, you know what I'm saying? I'm paying $500 for a 3-bedroom apartment.
That's tough to find.
So, also, too, you have to understand when people come in here and people have their issues, you're paying cheap rent because of the issues. When you came into a place, you knew what the issues were. You know what I'm saying? That's when you write up. Like, for example, I have notarized documents with my landlord. I have paperwork with my landlord because at the end of the day, I understand the controversy that's going on, and I'm not about to get caught up in it, especially if I'm paying you rent. My rent is actually paid up to September here at this place. So you understand what I'm saying, too? So I need to know that, hey, at the end of it, my paperwork, my documents are backed up.
Ms. Jeter had no complaints about her landlord. In fact, she said he even pays association fees. Now, it's not clear to who the association is in this case. And you heard her say, where else can you find a 3-bedroom place for $500 a month? She worries what a fix might mean.
People want to know what's happening, such as me. I definitely want to know what is the progress, what is going to happen. You know, I know that you guys can't just kick everybody out and move everybody out unless you come in here with bulldozers, because people are going to come back into their units. Simple as that. So, you know, honestly, I think that some type of subsidizing housing or Section 8 should be offered to the ones who are paying their rent, and the ones who own the property, you deal with them however you guys deal with them. But I don't think that everyone should be punished and just be put out their place, because like I said, this is affordable. You know what I'm saying? I'm a mother of 3, about to be 4. This is affordable for me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't make very much money, so going to a place to where they wanted me to pay them. See, over, you know, you have to have 3 times the rent or 1 check stub. I don't have that. But I'm maintaining. My lights have never been off. My rent is paid, and this is what I can afford.
We've asked, how could it get this bad? Next, could it happen again?
Welcome back to a special segment of Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott.
And I'm Jim Burris. You've been hearing the story of Brandon Hill. It's a condominium complex east of I-285 in DeKalb County, just off of Memorial Drive. Now, one side of Brandon Hill's story is of burned-out buildings, numerous trash heaps, and abandoned cars, one after another.
The other part to its story, some residents live just fine and have no complaints.
But there is a thread that weaves these two stories together. Now we pick back up with DeKalb County Commissioner Nancy Jester as she and I walk around Brandon Hill.
When we talk about how did it get this bad, clearly it's been bureaucracy for years, agencies on top of agencies, elected officials who have been long gone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But how do you ensure that this doesn't happen again?
Well, you know, that's an incredibly valid and important question. So whatever work I do, I mean, keep in mind, you know, any elected official is temporary. I mean, nobody's in office forever. So I always think about when I'm trying to fix problems or deal with solutions, I think, okay, well, what if I was hit by a bus tomorrow? What would become of this? So I think we have to create the processes and frameworks so that no matter who the players are, because they're going to change, can I create a process and a framework that will stand the test of time to give those new set of people the tools they need to deal with this type of situation? And so, hence my interest in, gosh, what can we do from a legislative perspective? Again, being very mindful of private property rights. I mean, I certainly don't want to create a situation where you've got some law on the books that would allow somebody to take someone's property nefariously. What I want to see, though, is when something gets like this, we have to have some ability to deal with this, because if ever you could make a case for something being in the public good to have government come in and make some changes, even on this private property, it would be this right here. You're looking at it.
But it seems to me that thinking of it in terms of coming in when it gets bad, is it a code issue? Is it a code enforcement?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. For instance, what could have been done a decade ago, let's say, when maybe some things started happening? Absolutely. I think when I said earlier this is a failure of government on many levels, that's exactly what I'm talking about. So somewhere along the way, things were not enforced like they should have been. There is no doubt in my mind about that. I can't go back and fix the past. And right now, if you came in and enforced code on, you know, you have that legal problem. I have to serve the missing owners. So you'd have to go back however long that crumbled up building, I mean, that thing's been burned out for a very long time. So you'd have to go back to that period of time when they were here, make service on them at that time to fix something, and maybe we would have had different out. We wouldn't have the trajectory that ends up at this place. So yes, there was a failure. When that failure started happening, I don't know.
Can you say with confidence that you're sure, though, that that failure is not happening now, that it doesn't continue to happen?
Well, I don't think that, like for instance right now, citing code right now, it would serve no purpose, again, because of the dramatic situation we're in. So I don't want to say that's not happening right now, because sure, you know, we could bring code out here tomorrow and I'm sure get a lot of violations, like the trash and so on. Mm-hmm. But what would the remedy be? We couldn't get the remedy accomplished because we're so far in the hole now.
Are you then now putting out a call to DeKalb County government? So the very people you work around, the people who are employed by the county, just like you, to step up their game.
Well, and that's indeed what created the conditions where we see the lawsuit that got filed. So again, that's just step number one, and I shall not relent. We will continue to pursue all the levers that we can pull to make government operate in the best interests of this community and indeed all of DeKalb. We've pulled that one lever. We've gotten them to put this lawsuit out there. The county's filed this lawsuit so we can gain access to this property to help clean it up. Again, there are many other problems besides just that. So then we'll work on what's the next step. How do we then level the burned out building so that little girl's not looking at us anymore from that very precarious situation?
And again, that's me speaking with DeKalb Commissioner Nancy Jester. And Rose, it's really essential to mention that Brannon Hill is actually not in her district.
Sure.
Sharon Barnes Sutton is the commissioner for this part of the county, and she's yet to return WABE's phone calls. Also, Rose, I just want to end by saying that this is one of those really troubling assignments, because reporting this shows how complex the problem is, and how, you know, people, human beings, are really caught in the middle. And we are in the business of finding answers. And at the end of the day, I couldn't find any.
Yeah, you know, Jim, I think that as journalists, look, one would argue, are we really in the business of finding answers? Because we're not the powerful. We're not the policymakers. You know, we're in a market where people say we ask tough questions, we hold the powerful accountable and all that. This is nothing new. You know, there are many Brennan Hill condominiums all across this country. I grew up in St. Louis, so I'm very aware of housing projects. I'm very aware of neighborhoods that may be similar to this. At the end of the day, what we wanted to do at Closer Look was bring you the story. And it's up for those individuals that can do something to do something. So that's my take on it. And we did reach out to the commissioner of who that district lies in, and you're right, we have yet to hear. So,
but there are many questions. We still have questions. And as we sort through who are the best people to answer those, we will revisit this Brennan Hill story.